Exposing tomorrow's tyranny tonight, it's Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser, your host of Tomorrow's News Tonight. Make sure you call in 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Finally, 877-789-ALEX. And I may not be Alex, but this is his network, damn it. Call in. I want to speak with Eris in Wisconsin. Eris, what is on your mind this evening?
Hey, Chase. Yeah, I don't know if you saw this, but it's kind of on the line as you were talking about the deconstruction of America.
Yeah.
But the Trump administration is decommissioning and retiring the A-10 Warthog.
Interesting. I didn't know
that. They're replacing it with the smaller ammo capacity F-35. And I think it's like part of this whole thing where like the other countries of the world, like China and Russia, kind of need to catch up. So any which way, somehow America slowly gets weaker and weaker. And then we pay for other countries' military protection and weaponry and give free weaponry to Israel and Ukraine, or, you know, in the form of grants, we're paying ourselves kind of. You know, and then also they buy some from us. We make custom versions of jets for Israel and stuff.
Yeah. We make the custom versions of of jets for them so that they are less advanced in the event that they crash or are acquired by the enemy. They can't steal our most competitive technology.
Yeah, and I also thought maybe it has something to do with down the road with Ukraine, because like the different like bracketing system for giving weapons to Ukraine, if it's like older decommissioned stuff. So it's like, oh, coincidentally, you're fighting a land power like Russia, who has a bunch of tanks and land vehicles. We're going to give you literally the aircraft called, you know, the Tank Buster.
Right.
You know, and it's sad to see. You know, I would think they would replace it with something better, you know, but it's kind of nonsensical land now. It's like a better deals are always kind of
irritating. You know, I'm with you on this. There's a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, it's incredibly frustrating that we left so many billions of dollars of weapons and munitions behind in Afghanistan right before a war broke out in Ukraine, when we could have just given all that equipment to Ukraine, not had to make new equipment for Ukraine, and simultaneously not armed Iran and Hamas. But maybe that was the whole point. That's the first thing that comes to mind. The second thing that comes to mind, though, is that the future of war is so different. It's not B-52s dropping bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, that some of that might happen, but the future of war is economic and cyber. And we haven't really been talking a lot about these massive cyber attacks that have been taking place. You realize a couple of days ago, Microsoft was hacked in a massive way, and Alaska Airlines had to ground all of its flights, and no one talked about it. And it's obvious that the hack was conducted by a foreign government, whether it was Iran or Russia or China. I don't know, but no one's even talking about the fact that we're constantly being hacked by our enemies, and it's resulting in them having to ground massive amounts of flights. A Delta flight was taken off the other day. Its engine was exploding on fire. Another flight just the other day almost collided with an American military aircraft. Nobody knows why or what the hell happened with that. We've got F-35s that are disappearing out of the sky. The government's claiming that they're finding them, but there's no witnesses or evidence whatsoever that they were found after they crashed, because they were hacked, stolen with autopilot as the pilot was force ejected. And so this whole future of war, whose tank is better than whose tank, I think it's relevant to a certain extent, but what matters about whose tank is whose or how cool your tank is if your entire electrical grid is shut down and all your financial institutions have been hacked and robbed? That's what I think is really where the future is. And so, you know, I see your point about the degradation of our military, and obviously we should always have the best military. That's 100% the case. But the future of war is on a different medium. We have entered into the age of the information war. It's digital, it's metaphysical, and we have to start fighting on that conspiratorial, spiritual, metaphysical plane. Stay with us for your calls on the other side. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. One more minute.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday, the 29th, to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at theyellowshowstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only three or four of them have had no effects. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect, but most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
No lies, no cover-ups, just truth. It's Tomorrow's News Tonight with Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight. And for the next 22 minutes and 38 seconds, we will be taking your calls, followed by a short break, and then your calls again for the remainder of the hour. Let's go to Johnny Freight Train. What a loyal caller. What's up, Johnny?
Can you hear me, Chase?
Oh, I can hear you. I hear you in my sleep.
Well, listen, what I got to say is a quote from the President of the United States of America and also a quote from Paul Harvey, just to give a little calm in this hectic life that we live. Trump wrote this down, and it goes like this. As long as we have God, we are never, ever alone. God will always give us solace and strength and comfort, unquote. Paul Harvey frequently would say, don't worry. Don't worry, because they ain't nothing ever going to be all right. Now, saying that, Chase, I want to tell you and everybody at InfoWars to hang tight and don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes.
Ah, amen. Amen. Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. You know, I used that line. We made a promo video. I don't know if you saw it, Johnny Freight Train, a long time ago, called 2084. And I have Alex, it's a sci-fi video. And at one point in the video, he says, don't fire until you see the reds of their eyes, because there's all these demons that have been resurrected. There are charges that comes from that. Did you ever see that?
No, but I'm going to tell you what now. The wars that we're fighting are deep spiritual battles.
Amen.
I wrote a song one time, I've seen the spirit of death, and with this, I have no regret. So it's not easy, but it's going to be easy one day, because we're going to be victors, like Paul Harvey.
Amen, brother. Thank you for your call. Brandon in Indiana. Brandon in Indiana. News of today. What is on your mind?
How's it going, Chase? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Everything the president was, you know, talking about today, just do we all, anybody really think that anything's going to happen to these people? I think it's all just to kind of...
I'd put it at 50-50.
Aside, honestly.
I'd put it at 50-50. I won't be surprised either way.
I mean, honestly, I think that might be the only way he can kind of coalesce the base halfway back together again. But if not, I mean, heck, I think it'll be a free for all in 2028.
Yeah,
and if we make it that far, honestly, I mean,
well, it's not looking good for 2026. Yeah, yes, it's not looking good, man. And look, things can change. We know what it's like to see a presidential election, for example, where the early front runner never winds up actually being the candidate, with the exception of this most recent election, because Trump, even though he didn't win the last term, was an incumbent in his own way. But do you remember in 2016, was it 2012? Everybody thought Newt Gingrich was going to be the president of the United States at one point. And then it was going to be Rick Santorum. It was always going to be everybody who it wasn't in the end. And I think we should keep that in mind, just because things are bad now with the polls and things of that nature. A whole lot can change in 18 months. By the way, I want to show you this clip. This is 77. The Obama bros are firing back at Hunter and the big guy after they tried to burn the whole party to the ground. Now Democrats sneaking behind their backs. Let's watch a little bit of this clip. This just relates to what the caller was talking about, 77.
Yesterday, Joe Biden sent Hunter on a search-and-destroy mission to 86, the party that cooed him. Hunter says Obama's cabal is filled with washed-up has-beens who cost his daddy re-election. And he struck a nerve because the Chicago boys came out firing at the big guy and the little guy.
It's 3 hours of Hunter playing the victim, and he, like, rages at us, and he rages at Axelrod and Clooney.
You were a liability. You should be ashamed of the ways in which you made your father's political life worse. And, like, the idea that we're going to listen to you now, like, give me a break.
These Obama guys covered up for Hunter for 4 years, covered up the laptop, said there was no crime there, said he was just an addict who loved his daddy. And now they call him a sleazy liability. And now they're also like, also, your dad was sleepy.
Hunter's on a tour right now. And just going forward, I think the lesson to learn is, because hopefully we're not going to have an 80-something-year-old geriatric candidate again.
There's some other weird like, he said he did, blames the debate on his Biden staff, saying they gave him Ambien on his foreign trip. But, like, Biden got back from the G7 on June 14th. The debate was June 27th.
A lot
like,
of Ambien.
If Ambien was the issue, like, I don't think it's Ambien. It's age.
Joe was a lucky skeleton who stumbled into the White House with a sack full of COVID mail-in ballots. And the left was pumped because they could just auto-pen their wish list into law during nap time. But auto-pen Junior's on the warpath. And he's calling the Obama boys grifters, still dining out on the Messiah's legacy. Then the Obama bros went low, and I mean real low. They compared Hunter to the monster himself.
It's just utter lack of self-awareness.
It's the shamelessness that really gets you in the end.
Well, I saw one quote he said. We all talk about the incredible popularity of Barack Obama. Barack Obama never got more than 69 million votes. My dad got 81 million votes. Like, dude, now you sound like Donald Trump.
George Clooney's not an actor. The low-rated Jake Tapper. It's amazing to watch people become the thing that they claim to be the savior from.
After they lost in a landslide, the best and brightest Democrat minds said they needed their own Trump. Then Hunter busts back onto the scene and starts laying the wood to the establishment like Trump did in 16. And they all circled the wagons around the establishment like Barack Obama was Jeb Bush. And now the whole party's running for cover.
So these comments yesterday by Hunter Biden going after a wide swath of people in the Democratic Party, are those productive at the moment?
I missed it. I'm not tuned in to Hunter's ravings.
Senator, do you have any reaction to the Hunter Biden clip yesterday?
No, I haven't. I don't pay attention to what Hunter Biden says.
I understand the personal pain that Hunter Biden is experiencing on all sorts of fronts, but I don't think it's constructive right now to engage in this backward-looking, finger-pointing.
Well, ignoring the problem isn't going to make it go away. There's a growing insurgency on the left. You got the bitter Biden faction and the squad and their commie Mondami wing. There's a civil war brewing, and every Democrat's getting drafted, whether they like it or not. No one is safe. AOC's coming for Chuck Schumer, and she's got backup in the House.
And look,
I think that Chuck Schumer was
the Hunter Biden thing. Whatever, they eat their own. They're all on crack. They're all going to gay sex, underage orgies, whatever. We got real problems. We got problems at the border. We've got stories of Brazilians literally stepping on dead bodies in the river of underage children. I have clips here of Epstein waltzing out of his home with the former prime minister of Australia's daughter, who's obviously underage. And we've got Bill Gates, who just landed in Washington, D.C., pressuring Congress to pour taxpayer money into vaccines and global health initiatives under the banner of saving lives. Let's watch clip 95.
I'm here in Washington, D.C., meeting with lots of members of Congress. I'm going to encourage them to stay involved in global health, saving millions of children's lives with a small part of the budget. When you ask people how much the foreign aid budget is, they often will say 5 or 10%. You know, it's less than 1%. Even so, what we do give, it adds up to a lot. You save tens of millions of lives. Unfortunately, early this year, most of the people involved with that who worked for USAID were all let go, and the money was largely cut off, resulting in a lot of people dying. A small part of it's been restored, but not enough to avoid mothers giving HIV to their babies, people not being diagnosed with tuberculosis, kids not getting bed nets to protect them. We're trying to make sure that money that Congress
there it goes with the nets again
should be spent on these things, that actually gets spent. You know, I'd argue that the 1% is worthwhile, not just on moral grounds, but very practical grounds of keeping America strong and protecting us from diseases, helping people avoid the deaths, avoiding parents dying of HIV.
Well, there he goes again.
That 1%.
Oh, it's so good to be here in Congress again. So good to be here meeting with the leader of the new of the free world, talking about how we can spend money on the bed nets.
You guys remember, right? Am I just crazy? Am I the only one who remembers this? Bill Gates provided nets laced with poison to kill mosquitoes with malaria to countries in Africa, I think. Then the people in these third world countries would use the nets during the day to fish. Then when they ate the fish, they were getting poisoned by the poison from the nets. And he's talking about bed nets again. Dude, stop with the nets. You're killing tons and tons of people. But I guess these New World Order globalists. Yeah, here we go. In Africa, meant to keep malaria out, mosquito nets are used to haul fish in. Article after article after article. Any about how they were laced with poison and poisoned the people and they died? But these leftists, like I was saying, they love depopulation. They love it so much. They care not about the children whatsoever. In fact, this is absolutely insane. The Biden admin set up a hotline so that unaccompanied minors could call if they had trouble with the strangers they were being placed with. 65,000 calls to this hotline went unanswered. Watch.
So you're telling this committee that the Biden administration, while they were letting all of these unaccompanied minors into the country, and as we've talked about today, they weren't keeping track of them, they issued these kids a hotline that they could call if they had trouble with the sponsor family that they were put with, and you're saying that 65,000 calls to this hotline designated to protect these kids went unanswered? Is that what you're telling this committee?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Frankly, there's no arguing with these people. I'm going to show clip 103 in a second. There's no arguing with these people. This is total war. In fact, I declare total war in the information war. That's what we all have to do. We have to declare total war. Not violence, not pitchforks, not torches, not stupid Molotov cocktails, not breaking glass, shattering windows, raiding or looting like the left or Antifa or the trash that you see on the street, screaming incessant nonsense at law enforcement, trying to provoke them to issue pepper spray so they can just run through the riot shields. No, I'm talking about total information war, where instead of tolerating opposition and other views, we just say, go to hell. Let's watch.
I'm not willing to have a discussion about the definition of what an American is. I'm not interested in hearing somebody else's proposal for what an American is.
Amen.
Everybody knows what an American is. If there's a degree or two of variation between Americans, what an American is, it doesn't matter. Anytime you try to argue in good faith with somebody who wants to steal from you, you try to argue in good faith with somebody who is not going to Iron Man your arguments. You're going to give them every intellectual consideration possible. They're going to give you none. Anytime you even open your mouth to do anything that's not derision, you're losing. You're accepting their proposition that what you know, the same way you know that the sky is blue, what an American is, when you accept that your knowledge of that can be affected by somebody's paragraph, you're already losing. So these people, when they come to you, when you see them, the only thing you should have to say to them is, hey, faggot, that's it. That's all you need to say. You don't need to say anything else. Within your community, within your Discord, within your friend group, whatever, you can have whatever discussion you want. But if it's an outsider who's here telling us how to do business, that's not in the game plan. That's not part of the show. That's not happening. All right? So I'm not saying you need to not think about these things and not talk about them with your friends, whatever. But when an outsider comes here, gets in your face, and starts throwing definitions at you, and you got to Google shit, no, we're not doing that. You're getting called a slur.
Let's go to Dave in FEMA region number 9. Dave, what's on your mind?
Thank you so much, Brother Chase. Always appreciate you taking my call.
Of course.
Before I start, I'd like to read a quick passage by the master C.S. Lewis. Courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at its testing point. And I hope that Beach Blonde Bondi has found some of that courage tonight. And I think with her action today, maybe she is. Maybe she's going next level, thinking like the boss. Because as you know, they want to sack Alina Haba. 15 regressives in New Jersey voted to remove her, to not let her continue on in an interim AG position in New Jersey. So Beach Blonde Bondi removed the person that would replace her. So what are they going to do now, right?
Yep.
So I hope that this transforms a bit her thinking. I'm cautiously optimistic, but at the same time, I'm still full of righteous indignation like you. I know it's an information war. It's a spiritual war. It's a kinetic war because we lose 100,000 Americans every year from CCP fentanyl. I thought this for a couple years. At some point, we're going to have to take all the paperweights that we have around our homes and convert them into cordless hole punchers again, because we are not able to out-comply this tyrannical system. If
Amen.
We could fix our voting system, that would be amazing. But Jesse and I did hang and count training for 2 years here in State 48. I worked the polls in 2024, and they still cheated like MFers, full stop.
Yep.
They
cheated in 2024. You see all the votes that came in at 4 a.m.? In Detroit, nobody talks about the cheating in 2024 because we won, but it was only because it was too big to rig. You're right. Look, Bondi has an opportunity here to totally recover, to totally redeem herself. The words of Jeff Daniels, who we've been featuring on this show inadvertently. And maybe that's what she's trying to do. If she does accomplish her own total redemption, it's only because we, you the listener, me, Owen Schroyer, others, have been giving her such total, incessant crap for how terrible of a job she's been doing. And hopefully she just feels that. Hopefully it's so palpable that when she walks into her own home, she's like, what's that smell? And her husband or whoever has to say, oh, that's the righteous indignation of the American people. It's been seeping through the floorboards ever since you have done nothing. And so I'm rooting for her. I want her to do a good job. Am I hopeful or optimistic? Eh. Not exactly a delightful performance with the Epstein stuff. Or her and Cash Patel coming out and bragging about how they caught 204 child predators in the United States. You know how many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of child predators are in the United States, and you're bragging about the fact that you caught 204? Gimli killed more orcs in the Battle of Helm's Deep, and there were only 10,000 of them. And you're bragging about the 204 child predators that you caught, when every time I turn my eye, I'm like, wouldn't let my kids be watched by that guy. Wouldn't let Mike Johnson watch my kids. Wouldn't let Lindsey Graham watch my kids. Wouldn't let Mitch McConnell watch my kids. Tom Cotton can't watch my kids. I could throw a rock and hit a pedophile in this country because they've been so protected by the trash at the top. And oh, we got 204 of them. Retards. Phil in Daytona Beach. Phil, what's on your mind?
Hey, sir. Appreciate everything you guys do, man. I mean, you guys are the truth. But you know, today with Trump's announcement on everything with Barack Obama, I mean, all that comes to mind with me is the Jimmy Carter funeral, and no other president would come up and talk to Trump, but he sat beside Barack Obama, and I mean, man, I mean, it those guys seemed like they were chums, and now all of a sudden today, it's like, this guy's for treason, this guy's, it kind of makes you like, okay, who are our friends, who are our allies, you know, what can make America great again? And I'll just leave it to you, Chase. I love you.
I love you, too.
Just show us the way.
Man, I wish I had the answers. It's a hell of a lot easier to identify the problem than it is to offer the right solution, isn't it?
I mean, I'm just flabbergasted. I mean, you know, everything we thought was right and wrong, and this guy was going to put us there, and here we are now. And I mean, I think that's the reason why I love you guys the most is because you keep putting truth out there.
Yeah.
And for the love of God, please just keep doing that, because this is what we need. I'm retired military, and I mean, since I retired in 2016, I mean, my world has come.
Did you serve overseas?
Oh, absolutely.
Combat veteran?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you ever miss it?
I miss it every day. And, I mean, we could do this all day long, Chase, but I don't want to waste your time. I know
you're not wasting my time. I just can't imagine what it's like to do something incredibly important every minute of every day and then come back to the United States of America and watch time go by.
I just want us to get right again.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are doing the right thing. I want to talk to Owen. I want to talk to the big man at some point in time. But, you know, I just had some time tonight, and I said, let me talk to Chase.
Look, if you want to get, on the phone with Alex Jones, all you got to do is call in and say you want to talk about Methylene Blue. So go straight to your call. All right. that's all you got to do, okay? But here's the answer, and this isn't going to be very satisfying, and I'm not trying to turn this into a plug. Though we're coming up on the end of the break, and I always try to plug the last minute or two of the break. The best way to improve this country is to do everything that you can to become the best version of yourself. Because all a country is, all a nation is, all a civilization is, a people is the sum of its parts. So America is the sum of Americans. And when Americans do and accomplish incredible things, then America feels and is incredible. If you want to make America great again, then we have to make the American people great again. Self-actualization is a concept that goes way back in psychology, and even philosophers have been arguing about the heroic best version of yourself going all the way back to Plato. You want to be the best version of yourself? Yeah, one way to do that is going to thealexjonesstore.com. But I would recommend to you, sit down and read books like The 48 Laws of Power or How to Win Friends and Influence People. Or The Game by Neil Strauss, if you're struggling to get laid. Take care of all that stuff with a grain of salt because the devil's in all the stuff. But really practice self-improvement. Practice becoming a better Christian. Practice becoming a better employee or a better small business owner. Practice becoming the best version of yourself. And it's never too late. I mean, if Colonel Sanders could found Kentucky Fried Chicken in his 50s and create one of the best chains businesses ever, then it's not too late for you. And by the way, you can kind of hit two birds with one stone. You can put a round in the heart of the New World Order by going to thealexjonesstore.com and get all the supplements that can help you in your journey to self-actualization, self-improvement. Go right now and take advantage of the bombshell buy one, get one sale and keep us on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, James O'Keefe was here in studio last week. He was on the last hour, and I forgot to give him Methylene Blue until the last 30 minutes, but he was going on Owen. So I asked him on air, take it now, I'm not going to say what it does, and tell us honestly what your response is. And it was, quite frankly, pretty amazing.
So the crew just reminded me that James O'Keefe has not tried Methylene Blue, or they asked me to ask him. He has it, doesn't know what it is, but he's so nice and trusting, he just took it. It's actually cyanide, James. No, seriously.
Trying to poison me.
I'm joking, it's really good for you. It takes 30 minutes to hit. It's not a stimulant, but it creates mitochondrial function and skips the oxidative process two levels or three levels in the cells. Usually takes 30 minutes to hit. You're on Owen at 4. Just please, Owen, talk to Owen. Ask if it hit you, what you felt. And if you didn't, we're going to put it on air, and you'll be the only guest that hasn't. So slam and the rest of your medicine.
You got it.
So you're asking what Ethylene Blue is. It is something RFK Jr. pushes. It's something I've known about for years. But we've got the best, and it is amazing what it does to your body.
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Sometimes it hits in 15 minutes. You got to let us know what you feel.
Wait, I've been drinking it for about 10 minutes, so we'll see.
You just started drinking about 2 minutes ago.
I finished the rest of it.
20 minutes later.
I just took it. I took a lot of it, and I would say it was the effect on me was light sensations. It was increased light perception. That's what happened to me.
The pixels of the world around you, of the simulation,
like enhanced a little bit? Enhancing my eyes when a light, and I woke away, it was just a bit of enhancement perception there.
But then after he talked about his eyesight getting clearer, I got reminded by the crew that I've had callers about this effect, and there's actually medical literature out there.
I've got glaucoma. My vision has been crap for the last 20 years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's perfect now.
What?
Yeah.
How long have you been taking Methylene Blue?
5 days. After 3 days, perfect vision.
No kidding.
Depth perception's back, and I don't have to hold my phone at my hip to read it.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, man.
This stuff is crazy amazing, and the medical research shows that.
It clears the brain fog, where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah! I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly, I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
The stuff works, man.
But whatever you do, do your own research, talk to your physician, and then get the very best medical-grade Methylene Blue supplement out there at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a limited-time sale until next Tuesday, the 29th, where you get one bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com and get a second bottle free right now. The limited time offer at thealexjonesstore.com. Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tomorrow begins tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight. We have 24 minutes left of the transmission. And if you call in now, you may have a chance to get on the air. It's 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. One more time, 877-789-2539. Next up, Jason in Illinois. Jason, what is on your mind, young sir?
Hey, Mr. Chase, I am so super pumped that you have your own show in the evening now.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that. And it's really great for the InfoWar, just to keep the ball rolling, you know, keep the information flowing for everybody.
Yes, sir. By the way, kudos to Charlotte Jones. Alex's daughter is the one screening the calls. I'm not sure if you knew you were talking to her.
Oh, nice. Hi, Charlotte.
She's been doing a great job.
Yeah, she was very thorough.
What do you have to say?
But I just got a little statement and then a question for you. We're kind of running out of time as far as like Trump getting the deep state taken down.
Yeah, the days fly by like wild horses over the hills.
Right, we got midterms. What, year and a half? We're out. I mean, that's not a lot of time. So realistically, you know, you got what, 13,000 FBI agents. I mean.
Yeah.
There's at least that many deep state in the media. you know, nationwide. So what do you think about, like, the Insurrection Act? I mean, they subverted the election. It, clearly he could invoke that. I know I'm a diehard Trump supporter. I have faith in him. I believe it's God's plan for him to get it done. And that may be the only way. I remember they expanded Gitmo several years ago.
Yeah, I don't know about the Insurrection Act. I don't have an intimate understanding of it, to be honest with you. I'm just not a constitutional lawyer, and I don't have constitutional knowledge that I should, honestly. I should go back and study it. But what I would rather see instead of the Insurrection Act is just a massive awakening of the American people. I mean, we should be forcing this. And it's really provable that even though our influence on our own political class is constantly eroding, it's certainly obvious that when we apply pressure, things go differently. So there still is some semblance of representation taking place. And so, for example, Trump comes out, tries to kill the Epstein story. Everybody pushes back like hell for days and days and days. And I don't know if anything's going to come from it, but Bondi is talking about, oh, no, okay, fine, we'll release more. And we see this breaking story of this investigation from Tulsi Gabbard leading to what's probably going to be indictments, I think. I don't know if Obama's ever going to get in trouble because he has the presidential immunity, but I think there's actually a really good chance Comey might go to prison. And by really good, I mean 50-50. I don't mean likely, but the closest we have ever come to anyone in the federal government facing any likelihood of being indicted or persecuted or prosecuted for the crimes that they've obviously committed against the American people, the greatest odds we've ever had have been at like 20%, 10%. And now we're at like 50%, where it's hitting the news and it seems like it's really going to happen. And we understand that the Trump administration cannot afford to totally drop the ball on Epstein and then drop the ball again on this after all of the evidence is out. I mean, how many more of these stories are we going to take? Where there's thousands of documents, hundreds of documents, explicit, obvious evidence, massive crimes against the American people conducted by the establishment. And now it's not just the institutions who are culpable or cited as the transgressor, but specific individuals within the institutions. I mean, remember what happened with MKUltra. Oh, yeah, the CIA conducted this massive psychological operation on the people where they set up brothels, lured men in, drugged them with LSD, and then watched them have sex so they could take notes on what it was like. But it was always just the CIA. Even with the JFK assassination, it was always ever just the CIA. No individual. Even with the total crash of the stock market, it was always just Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. But no individual ever. I don't think anybody went to prison for it. But now they're finally like, no, look what Comey did. Look what Clapper did. Look what Brennan did. Look what Obama did. Now we're seeing, oh, fingers are being pointed at real people for real treason with real evidence. And these fingers are being pointed not by the American people, but by the establishment, Tulsi Gabbard, others, at the establishment. This is the closest we have ever come to real justice against the deep state. And I hope all of these people go to prison for the rest of their life before they go straight to hell for rest of eternity. Let's go to Greg in Wisconsin. Greg in Wisconsin, what are you thinking about at 10:38 p.m. on Tuesday night?
Well, Chase, just about the deep state, here's a couple of notes people might have not looked at clearly and maybe want to go in a little further about. Couple of the latest documentary TV shows, the Pee Wee Herman one from HBO,
yeah,
which I can't remember the exact
title. They made a documentary about Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah, there's like a two-part documentary. It's like just two episodes, but it's probably like close to four hours or so. They're like a full movie each. But anyways,
HBO makes wonderful documentaries. Have you seen The Truth versus Alex Jones?
I mean,
you know what? The best thing about that documentary is it was made by the same guy who made the Michael Jackson documentary. And so as soon as I watched The Truth versus Alex Jones and saw how full of crap it was, I was immediately comfortable with listening to Michael Jackson again.
Exactly. But about this Pee Wee Herman thing again. So they talked about his young life, how he became him and everything. And he was a comedian, struggled, and basically, I'm going to try to get to the point quick. but they said, there's this little part where they said that his dad was in, like, the Air Force, pretty high up position as a pilot. And then he moved to Israel when he was a young boy. And I thought that was weird. They just nonchalantly said that. You know, it's like, okay, this guy's an American. They just say, oh, yeah, you're... This was like around 19, when Israel was very in its infancy, you know, because Pee Wee Herman was old, right? But then they just, like, said that and moved on, and they didn't spend much time on his, like, young life when he was in Israel. But they basically, the majority of the rest was, like, when he was a young adult, and he was over here in the United States. We don't know how he got back, but or when he came back, whatever. And he was a comedian, and so he did all these different, like, personalities. He couldn't make it. He was basically ready to give up and was like, oh, how the heck am I supposed to, you know, make it? And apparently people liked this Pee-wee, and he kept doing it, and people egged him on to keep doing it more and more. And it's just weird because that character just comes to be this huge thing, almost like he is.
Yeah.
Pee-wee. A lot of people didn't really know he was just a regular dude, and it was all an act. But
I got half a mind to do the tequila dance on this desk tonight. Should I do it?
Yeah, I guess. But real quick, hold on.
I'm holding on.
Somewhere too with this. But anyways, so he was hilarious. People loved him. He got accepted by all the people around him in the 80s and or 90s and stuff. And he was like this really effeminate character, making it seem like, okay, for men and or by our age people to be fans of this guy who's okay with being super effeminate. Could this all be a CIA op? I mean, could he have gotten
I mean, trained? He was weird and effeminate. I get it. But it was awesome. I mean, that scene in Pee Wee Herman where he gets knocked out at the rodeo, and he wakes up in Texas, and he'd been at the Alamo earlier in the movie, and they say, do you remember anything? Because he'd been knocked out, and he goes, I remember the Alamo. And all the Texans cheer. I mean, it's just good American wholesome entertainment, right?
Funny. It was great, but I'm just saying, well, what if this was a CIA op where basically he was kind of trained to be this effeminate kind of thing and bring him over to the United States to try to change our culture over time into the more effeminate.
Dude, Pee Wee Herman did not make us effeminate. You know, the atrazine in the water made us effeminate, and the TikTok algorithms from the CCP made us chop our dicks off. It's not Pee Wee Herman. If the CIA made Pee Wee Herman, then I've been wrong about the CIA for years. The CIA is awesome if they made Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But I love you. I love your point. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm so glad you called.
No,
because
that's all right. But I just thought maybe there might be something to it. If he's over in Israel, they didn't why did his dad get sent over to Israel and be able to live a life there? And then, you know, like, why did they not even talk about him in Israel? Or I don't know. But real quick, also about the Lollapalooza thing, and you know, it was supposed to be one concert, like the last one for the Jane's Addiction, right? And then all of a sudden it became a thing. Well, and the only reason, one of the reasons why it became a thing is because they brought in all the NGOs to kind of have the stands up to make it more not just about the music, but also about like the culture. You could learn about maybe becoming a member of the World Wildlife Federation and all that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm told by the crew that his father was like a founding member of the Israeli Air Force.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm just saying, well, is there any sort of connection to some sort of PSYOP to be able to bring, because we didn't have the phones and stuff, they had to get these people thinking a certain way, you know, like colleges do and everything.
I think he was just a funny gay
joke. There might be something there.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, Greg, we should get to we got to get to the bottom of this Pee Wee Herman conspiracy because I never heard it before. It's one of my favorites, and I'm really glad that you called. By the end of the show tonight, I'm doing the tequila dance on the desk, by the way, just because of you, Greg. I appreciate it. Ryan in South Dakota, let's go to you. Ryan, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, good to hear from you. By the way, I love the Pee Wee Herman movie. It's great. And I want to do a quick plug. The Methylene Blue is fire.
Yeah.
I don't have the afternoon drag anymore. I have mental clarity, and I've been giving it to several people. And the several people I've been given to have had so many different experiences than I have. I could go on for a half an hour about it. But I'll get to the point. I wanted to talk about the RFK bomb that dropped today with the HHS and the conspiracy about
organ harvesting. Everything Alex Jones had been saying for years about don't put organ donor on your thing. And if you would have asked any AI whether or not being an organ donor means they're going to wipe you out so they can sell your organs because your organs are more valuable than your life, any AI would have been like, oh, that's just unfounded. There's no evidence for this. All the leftists are... Now it's coming out. Alex Jones was right again. Nailed it. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. And I had been an organ donor on my last license. The license before, I wasn't. And this time I was. So, and then I heard about these conspiracies, and I'm like, well, shit, I need to get rid of that. And, I scraped it off my ID, but I don't think it's probably still in the system. I got 2 years left, so I need to probably go in and change that.
I don't know, dude. I really need a kidney. Would you hook me up?
I don't know if you want one of my kidneys.
Yeah, dude, I would change it. I've never been an organ donor because I've got hemophilia, but no one in my family is. They'll kill you, man. They will kill you for your organs.
And one thing I wanted to say is I think South Park might have got it right again with Hell's Pass Hospital.
I'm not familiar with that scene. Tell me about it.
Oh, it's the hospital in all of their series. It's just called Hell's Pass Hospital.
Because whenever, you're on your way to hell if you go in?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's good stuff, yeah, man. Well, they were certainly right, man.
Yeah, that's kind of about all I wanted to talk about, I guess, tonight. And this is the second time I talked to you. I was the caller maybe 2 weeks ago about the 72 flood in Rapid City.
Yeah.
And I was a little nervous on that call. It was the first time I've ever called in. Well,
calling in is tough, man. It takes a certain level of bravery.
Yeah, so I wasn't even going to do it tonight, but then I decided, you know what? I'm going to do it.
I'm glad that you did, Ryan. Thank you for your call. Alex in Connecticut. Alex in Connecticut, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, what's going on?
Not much, man.
Man, that was hilarious, the last call. The hospital thing, they should make a T-shirt out of that. Hell's Pass or whatever the heck he was saying about the South Park.
Yeah, oh, my God, yeah.
Hilarious.
Well, anyway, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so... we have an affinity for Dumb and Dumber, so I was going to sing that famous song that we all know.
Oh, yeah. Mock.
Yeah.
Bird.
Yeah.
Mockingbird, don't cry. Or don't sing, right?
Everybody, have you heard? He's going to buy me a mockingbird. That is that mockingbird don't sing. He's going to buy me
diamond ring.
There you go.
Anyway, what's on your mind for real?
Yeah, so, first, I don't think the last caller that was talking about Obama and Trump at the funeral there, I think it was more Trump's just, you know, his instincts, you know.
Yeah.
He knew he wanted to keep it positive. Traitor Obama sits next to him, congratulates them, and the first thing he does is try to levity. He says, you know, Hillary still hates me. And Obama starts laughing like crazy.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Hey, man, if all the world's supervillains hate you, you're doing something right.
Exactly. So, and I think Trump will get back to it. He'll get back on track. He's just.
I hope so, man. I'm optimistic. I'll remain optimistic until I'm dead, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Alex. I appreciate it. Rob in Pennsylvania. Rob, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase. How you doing? It's Robbie Sunshine.
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Miss you on the Discord, dude. So I want to talk about election integrity because I think Alex brought this point up that if we lose the midterms and Trump has a slumpy second half of the term, everybody's in trouble. They get back into power. You know, Alex knows for sure him, but I would say pretty much anybody who's online shooting their mouth off is going to be looking at trouble. So in that vein, election integrity, who do you think of on the MAGA side when you hear election integrity?
Who do I think of a bunch of people. My Pillow guy, for sure.
Okay. Well, there's the guy. Do you remember his symposium he had?
Yeah, I do. I remember it. It was really boring, so I didn't watch it, even though it was really important.
Well, it was so boring because he never had any data.
Right.
It was all an actual huge bluff, and he actually just had to admit in court that his data was actually garbage.
Well, so I don't think he was deceiving anybody. I just think that he didn't. I just think he might have been misled.
You could go back and look at the clips. He's going to let cybersecurity guys dig through it and verify it, and he's already verified it. He's got it all.
Right.
Remember all that?
Yeah.
The 22 months.
Didn't he get raided in a fast food line?
Yeah, they took his phone.
While he was like in a Burger King or something.
Yeah.
Poor guy. I don't know what you're going to say. I think Mike Lindell's a good dude. I just think he handled it wrong.
Well, his whole effort yielded no one in jail. Literally zero.
Yeah, obviously it failed.
Went to jail. The only person went to jail was Tina Peters because his symposium guy, Code Monkey, released Tina Peters' data.
Well, Code Monkey's
That's
probably
why she
Q.
Went to jail. I don't know. But
look into
Frank
it, bro.
His fake algorithm. They toured the country saying, "Don't bother cleaning the voter rolls." I mean,
cleaning the voter rolls.
To do that is Tom Fitton, but he's only getting promises to remove the names. It's not actually happening, from what I'm understanding. So I think that's hugely important. And the Pillow products are great. I have a ton of them. I drove from New Jersey to Florida with a huge banner on the back of my U-Haul saying, "Frank's speech, save this country."
Yeah.
Well, Frank's speech went public the week after Tina Peters went to jail.
Yeah.
$150 million.
Whenever a company goes public, man, you might as well say that it went to the state.
Well, yeah, and he gets on Bannon and says he just had a victory in court. The fact is he lost. He got ordered to pay $2.3 million. It wasn't the $60 that Eric Trump
right.
was looking for.
I understand.
But he still lost.
I know.
He didn't win.
He's not trying to lie, man. He's just in denial, man. Denial isn't just a river in Egypt. He's a good dude. He's a saint.
He's got GOP people all around him.
Yeah.
He's got Dr. Frank, Code Monkey, Joe Altman, all complete frauds, all are in our election integrity space. All of them need to go. Okay? I called in when Lindell was on and tried to bring this to him, but Alex cut me off twice. First, I tried to tell him, and he said, "Wait for Mike."
Yeah.
And when Mike came on, he just cut me off.
Well,
and
I'm sorry.
He was mighty flustered, if you want to go back and look at that clip. He didn't like hearing what I said.
I mean, I don't like hearing people talk bad about Michael Lindell, but I think everything you said is well-founded. Obviously, it didn't work out. Obviously, it was handled wrong. We should learn from it. But I still like him. He tried, man. More than 99% of the people in this movement.
Yeah, but what happened through his effort?
Nothing.
The forensic audits got tanked.
Yep.
And we said we're going to canvass and do all this other crap that actually does absolutely nothing. Meanwhile, 22 months went by, they shredded the ballot.
Yep. And so what we should learn from this, is we can't reason or litigate within an unreasonable system or a litigious system. We just can't win within this justice system. Barry in Texas. Barry, what's on your mind? Oh, Barry, are you there?
Hey, I got a...
I hear you. Go ahead.
Hi. Lindell, you know, he got played.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, Lindell got played by Dennis Montgomery. And Dennis Montgomery is the guy that gave Arpaio that fake database that Alex is trotting out now, saying it is incriminating Obama. And, you know, it's all just bullshit, honestly. And you should play me chess. I pinged you on chess.com.
That was you?
I'll play you. Mr. Put.
Have you ever seen the four-move checkmate?
Yeah, I've seen the scholars.
Okay, I'll have to try something else.
Yeah, I'll play the orangutan. It'll be fun.
All right, I'll play you in chess. Folks, we're coming up on the end of the broadcast tonight. I want to plug, and we're definitely going to, by the way, we're definitely playing the tequila song with Pee Wee Herman. The caller called for it, so it's a demand. Please go to the alexjonesstore.com and support us, keep us on the air. We are at the pinnacle of the information war. It's only going to get more intense, especially with this rollout of artificial intelligence. We have the buy one, get one bombshell sale happening right now where you can get the methylene blue tincture and then another bottle for free if you buy it, or the Shilajit capsules and another bottle for free if you buy it, or the CMOS gummies, which are an incredible source of iodine to help your thyroid detox your body from all the toxins in the air, water, and food that we consume or are surrounded with. So please go, and don't just go because these products are incredible for you, the highest quality at the lowest cost with the most incredible deals you've ever heard of. Go because we need your support. And the AlexJonesStore.com is the way we will ensure that Alex Jones is always on the air, even if they succeed next month in shutting down InfoWars. So please go now. And in the meantime, let's watch the tequila song.
Just tell me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things, and their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS, Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today.
and I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.